I trust that Brother Moses' message and my message will blend together. I'd like to have a message this morning on spiritual gifts. And I don't know any way by which you can be assured that spiritual gifts will be operating and being effective in your life than to maintain a life of humility before God. Because it's God who dwells on that broken heart. And it's God who manifests spiritual gifts in the lives of people. So, as the song so clearly said, we're just channels. That's all we are. Channels only, blessed Savior, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. If we'll maintain that kind of an attitude, that we're just a channel, that's all we are. We're a vessel that God wants to fill and spill out on others. Then I think that we can see spiritual gifts in our lives. I want to greet each one in the name of the Lord Jesus this morning. I'd like you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You want to read there first of all. And I'd like to give four purposes for the message this morning before we get into the message, and then we'll review them at the end of the message again, so that you understand the applications for this message this morning on spiritual gifts. I can say with Brother Moses' heart this morning, it is my heart cry also that there be a church full of people who just want to serve God in any way they can. Just let me serve God one way or another. And I guess that would be part of the motivation of this message also. So I'll give you four purposes for the message. Number one, to promote a unity in the congregation. We have a message this morning on spiritual gifts because we desire that there be a unity in this congregation. And it's interesting to note this. As you look into the background of the church at Corinth and realize that 1 Corinthians was written to the church at Corinth, and there's quite a bit in 1 Corinthians about spiritual gifts. It's also interesting to note that the church at Corinth had a lot of trouble with division. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas. And this, among other things, Paul was led by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to minister to the need of disunity in the church at Corinth by teaching them about spiritual gifts. So that's one of the purposes for the message. Secondly, that we might understand each other. There might be an understanding among the brothers and the sisters. Thirdly, that that you might be enlightened in your own heart, that you might understand what your spiritual gifts are. And I don't think it's wrong. I don't think it goes against the spirit of humility, the true spirit of humility, to understand what the gifts are that are working in your own heart and life. Although some would say that. Some would be opposed to a message like this completely and say that it's proud and it genders pride in the hearts of God's people. But I am of a mind that if God put it in here, that it won't gender pride in our heart if we receive it in that spirit of humility that the message was given in before. And the fourth purpose, that it might create a desire in the hearts of God's people this morning for spiritual gifts. That there might be a covetous desire in your heart for spiritual gifts. Let me clarify what I mean by that. The Bible does admonish us to desire spiritual gifts, to covet the best gifts. But the motivation the motivation for every spiritual gift is simply that it might edify. Oh, that it might edify. Amen. Oh, that I might edify my father or my mother. Oh, that I might edify my brothers and sisters in the church. Oh, that I might edify. If that is your heart's cry and desire, there's nothing wrong with coveting the best gifts. Oh, that I might edify, that I might be a blessing to someone else. Oh, that I might serve. Now, the subject of spiritual gifts is one that's much neglected in many churches and much overemphasized in others. We don't desire to do either of those. If you will go to the churches where the subject of spiritual gifts is neglected, you'll probably find one or two men who preach and everyone else who listens. If you'll go to a church where spiritual gifts are overemphasized, you'll probably find that everybody's trying to talk at once and it's hard to find any leadership at all in the congregation. So obviously, I don't want either one of those. We desire to be balanced in this, but it would be our heart's desire that all of God's people would prophesy, that all of God's people would be manifesting spiritual gifts among us. I believe that's scriptural and right. All right, let's read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll read verse 1 through 13. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. I think that'd be a good admonition for us this morning. I think we could take that first verse right there and whatever fears or false ideas that we might have about spiritual gifts, I think we ought to be able to lay them aside this morning and just trust in that verse right there. We can just say, God is saying to our hearts this morning, oh people, oh brothers and sisters who have gathered together inside these walls this morning, I would not have you ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. God wants you to be enlightened. If you've never heard such words before, if the first thing that comes to your mind is charismatic, when you hear spiritual gifts, you need to lay those things aside this morning. And trust God, because He's the one who said, I would not have you ignorant concerning spiritual gifts.
Right.
God doesn't want us to be ignorant of them. The church suffers where there is no manifestation of spiritual gifts. Now, I'm not talking about the charismatic church this morning that you hear about out there. I am talking about a true charismatic church. Can I say that?
Yes,
well, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but I think it's right by the Spirit of God to say this now. If you look up the Greek word for the gift of grace, or the gifts of grace, you know what that Greek word is? Charisma. Charisma. No, I'm not talking about what is out there in those worldly places that they call charismatic churches, but I am talking about a charisma. God wants His people to be filled with charisma. That is, Amen. Gifts of grace that He poured out in their hearts.
Amen.
And we want to be a people that live by this book.
Amen.
We started that way, didn't we? We lifted up this book and we said, we're going to be a people that believe the Bible and we're going to live by the Bible. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe it from Genesis to Revelation. And we said all those things. So this morning, may the Lord give us all grace to lay aside maybe some thoughts that we already have in our minds and just listen to His Word. All right, let's move on. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. It is God. For the manifestations of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. I want you to note a few words in here. Every. God breathed out that little word, every. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Why? What is the motivation behind it? Why did God give those to every man? To profit with all. That everybody would profit from it. That's why they're given, and no other reason. Not that anybody should be lifted up, but that all should profit. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. But as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bound or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now the lesson that is given here, first of all, is that of a body. Paul likens a church unto a body. Now we all understand how our body works, and I just praise God that he put such a simple illustration in the Word of God to help us to understand how this church is supposed to work, how a local assembly is supposed to function. It's supposed to function just like a body. A body has a head, and we have a head. Our head is the Lord Jesus Christ. And from that head, which messages are transmitted by the Spirit of God into the hearts of all the members of the body. And just like this body cannot function without a cooperation of all the parts of the body. And if I hear a command to go and get a chair, it takes all kinds of parts of my body to pick up that chair and carry it. My mind receives the message. The message is transmitted to my feet, first of all. I turn this way, my feet walk, my hands have to reach out. They reach out and get a hold of the chair. My arms have to pick up the weight of the chair. My legs carry the chair back to the pulpit. And all those things are in operation, or this chair doesn't move from where it was over there to over to here. And it is exactly the same way in the church. God has messages for the church. God has edifying for the church. God has a direction that he wants to take the church. But the church cannot move the way that God wants it to move unless all the members of the body are submitted under the head, and they're all functioning in an orderly way together, all submitting one to another. What would it be like if when I got over here to pick up this chair, my arms were willing to pick up the chair, but my hands weren't willing to grab a hold of it? That chair wouldn't go anywhere. I wouldn't be able to pick it up. And it's the same way in the church. So this matter of spiritual gifts is very important. It's very important if we want more than just a church where one or two people bless all the rest of them. That's not the way that God had it in mind. Amen. God had in mind that there be a spiritual body of believers where one has a word of wisdom and another has a word of knowledge and one has a message and one has a teaching and one has a psalm. That's the way that God wants it to be.
That's right.
And that's the way that we are going. Because that's the way the Bible says.
Amen. That's right. Yes, amen. I'd like you to notice a few words, and you'll understand them a little better as we go on. But I'd like to look back to verse 4, 5, and 6 and note three words. In verse 4, note the word gifts. Diversities of gifts. In verse 5, note the word administrations. Differences of administrations. And in verse 6, note the word operations. Diversities of operations. There's a whole lot of meaning in those three words right there. I hope to help you to understand a little more later. Now let me give you a couple definitions of spiritual gifts before we go in any further. Of course, I said already that spiritual gifts, the Greek word for spiritual gifts is charisma. So it's a Bible word. Another definition would be this: special endowments of supernatural energy. Special endowments of supernatural energy. And here's another: the operations of the Spirit given to men. The operation of the Spirit given to men. Now, I want to put three categories on the board this morning. I can make them legible enough here. I would like this morning to present a little discussion this morning on spiritual gifts based on these three points right here. Now, I'm not saying this morning that I've got the Bible interpretation and I've got all the right lines down. I don't know if we can draw clear lines. But this has helped me to understand the operation of the spiritual gifts in the lives of God's people. I'm not being dogmatic here. I don't feel like I have all the answers. I'm not saying, thus saith the Lord, there are administrative gifts and manifestation gifts and motivation gifts. I'm not saying all that. I'm only putting those up there so that we can have a little bit of sorting in our mind to understand how God makes this chair move from one place to another. When we're done, we want to understand how God makes this chair move from one place to another and what our different parts are to make that happen. Because if we're not all working together, this body of believers is not going to move this chair anywhere. It won't go. And if we don't move the chair where God wants the chair to go, we're not fulfilling the purpose for which we're still upon this earth. So it's very important that we understand how that chair gets from where it is to where God wants it to be. Now, many times the spiritual gifts tend to overlap each other, but yet I see some clear lines at the same time. I'd like to present them. And it may be that all God wants us to have is a general awareness that He gives gifts unto men, and that those gifts are going to manifest themselves in many different ways throughout our lives. All right. I'd like, first of all, to look at the spiritual gifts of administration. If you could turn to Ephesians in chapter 4. Familiar verses. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 through 11. But unto every one of us is given grace, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some. That word, some. Now it's not every anymore, it's some. We're talking about the gifts of administration. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists,
and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Why? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, I'd like you to note something this morning as we look at these verses. First of all, there are titles on these gifts. It's very evident that it's speaking about gifts because it was the context there says that he gave gifts unto men. And while he was giving gifts unto men, he gave some apostles, and it lists them, apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. I'd like you to note it, that in this reference here, it's titles. It's not the gift of prophecy. It's not the gift of teaching, but it's apostles, a title. What is that?
Is that a personal pronoun?
How do you do that? Ross? Be a noun, but not a personal pronoun.
A pronoun.
Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Let me cite for you an example found in Acts chapter 13, where it's speaking about several of the brethren there that were assembled together ministering of the Lord in prayer and fasting. And it says there in the Holy Writ, there were assembled together some prophets and some teachers, and they were ministering unto the Lord in prayer and fasting. Again, you see a title. In the days of the book of Acts, there were men in the congregation who were known as prophets. And there were men in the congregation known as teachers. Their titles. These are the gifts of administration. The church cannot function without all of these. It cannot function properly without these. What kind of shape would we be in if we never had an evangelist around? Now, we understand there's quite a difference between an evangelist and a pastor, don't we? We got a good taste of that just a few months ago now, with Brother Wayne. It doesn't take very long for anybody who understands very much about spiritual gifts to say, now that is an evangelist. If you've ever heard Aidan Troyer speak, you'll say the same thing. Now that is an evangelist. There's something about an evangelist. He just seems to evangel wherever he goes. He seems to see into the hearts of the people that are there. He seems to have a burden for the lost that are there. And there's always a trail of souls that come behind an evangelist. That is a true evangelist, which is a gift that God gave to the church. And the church cannot function without it.
That's right.
Oh yes, there'll be converts in a church without an evangelist. I know that. But there seems to be a long trail of converts behind an evangelist. And an evangelist is very different than a pastor. But the church cannot live without either one of them. They're gifts of administration. There's a lot of difference between a prophet and a teacher. A teacher can take the Word of God and break it down and verse by verse by verse go down through the Bible. A teacher, a lot of times, he won't raise his voice very much. A teacher will be on the board with lots of outlines. Point one, point two, point three, point four. That's a teacher. But a prophet, he's not that way. A prophet, he may get up with one verse out of Isaiah 57 and just preach for 45 minutes. Pulling one after another, just pouring out his very heart before the people. A prophet may get up and warn the people, don't go this way, go this way. These are gifts of administration. And if I can just say this without laboring the point a whole lot, because I don't want anyone to get upset this morning, but apostle is in there too. It's in the list too. I don't think anybody ought to go around saying he's an apostle, but I think there are some apostles around. Yeah. I don't think that God did away with that one and left the others. I think there are apostles. They operate differently today. Some of these bishops that oversee 8 or 9 churches, why, they're probably doing more of the work of an apostle than the work of a bishop. A bishop is supposed to be over a congregation. He's supposed to take oversight over a congregation. An apostle like Paul, oh, he was at Church Corinth, and then he was over at Colossae, and then he was at Thessalonica, and the same with the others. They moved around. They watched over much of God's work. That's the work of an apostle. They see the work in a broad perspective. Yeah. Yeah. They see churches relating with each other in a broad perspective. Yeah.
They need church planter.
Church planter. A special messenger. One sent forth. The work of an apostle. He's different. The point I'm making this morning is each one of these is very different. But yet, the church can't live without them. We need every one of them. What kind of a church would it be if all we ever had was somebody that got up here and hollered about sin and oh, don't go this way, don't go that way. What kind of a church would we have if that's all we had? No, we need a teacher who will get up there and break the word down. Point one, point two, point three, and feed out good solid meat to the mature Christians that they might have food to chew on. And what kind of a church would we have if we had no evangelist? Don't we see the wisdom of God in that He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers? It was in His wisdom that He did that. And their gifts. And I believe, I like to just call them administrative gifts.
Yes.
Titles. Recognizable titles that operate in the body of Christ. That's what I like to call it. And of course, the purpose, we've already read. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. That's why God gave some apostles and some prophets and all that line. All right. Secondly, we want to look at gifts of manifestation. Let's turn back to the verses we read. All right, in this second category, gifts of manifestation, they're gifts that are manifested in a time of need, in a service, in a special meeting, in a home, while out in evangelism. These gifts that are mentioned here, they can operate anytime by anybody. And I want you to notice here that there's no titles given here. There's no titles. But rather, the gifts themselves are mentioned. And not even the gifts as titles, but rather the manifestation of the gifts. It's given in the context that way, that it's not even a title, but rather just the explanation of each manifestation. To one is manifested a word of wisdom. To another, manifest a word of knowledge. To another, let me see if I can put it up here. Okay. To another, faith. Faith. Well, you can't go and say, oh, he has a gift of faith. No. But yet, when God want somebody to get a double dose of faith, to believe Him for something, God will pour that faith supernaturally into an individual at a specific time when he needs something to be done where it requires a dose of faith that isn't normally in the congregation. And God will pour that gift out upon an individual, and that individual will rise to his feet, whether it be in the congregation or whether it be out on evangelism or whatever. But that individual will have the faith that is needed at that time. It's a gift, an operation of faith being poured into somebody. And that can fall on anyone. Because he gives to every man the profit with all. Now we're not to the sums. We're not in the administrative area. God gives administrative gifts to some so that these congregations can move forward in an orderly manner. But he gives gifts to everyone. every one. That means you, sister, and you, brother. That means you, brother, the real quiet one that hardly says anything. Yes, God gives gifts to every one. Okay. So the point of number two is that it's not specific. God may give a word of wisdom to you tomorrow, and He may give the word of wisdom to Brother Mose the next day. God may give the word of knowledge to this sister, and God may give a gift of healing to a brother back there. Makes me remember the little story of one of the little churches over there in Kenya. Just two or three young people went to a little village to evangelize. They didn't know. They had no idea. There wasn't any one of them that said, I have the gift of healing. No. They were just out doing the work of God, and they came upon an old man laying there in his cancer-ridden bed, and one of them got an inspiration from God and said, do you know that God can heal you of that? He's a healer. You don't need a doctor. Would you like us to pray for you? And the man said, yes, I would. And that young person said, let me put my hands on you. And he put his hands on him and prayed, and the man was healed of cancer. There is a manifestation of the gift of healing.
Yes.
From that point, they didn't put a sign on the back of that young man and say, he's got the gift of healing. No. It just was manifested at a time when it was needed.
Amen.
The gifts of manifestation, they fall upon anyone or everyone, depending on how the heart is before God and depending on what the need is that God has at the time.
Amen.
It could be many different ones. And if I may say, you know, everyone's afraid of these verses down here, the gift of tongues. Everyone's afraid of that. I'll tell you why everyone's afraid of that one. Because somebody said, oh, gift of tongues, we're going to make this a big thing, and we're going to put a sign on the back of everybody who has it, and we're going to put another sign on the back of everybody who doesn't have it, and make them feel like they haven't got something that he has, and the whole thing has been thrown way out of line.
Oh, that's right.
Way out of line. But God, at the right time and the right place, can give an individual a different tongue. God can do that and does do that. So we need to be afraid of those things, but they do need to be kept in their right place. Now, see, if you have a congregation full of people and everybody says, oh, the gift of tongues, that's the thing, you know, and then everybody wants it and everyone has it at the same time, it's confusion. That's not what God had in mind. God orders those gifts when a need arises, and when there is no need arising, then there's no such thing.
Yes.
It's not there anymore. The gifts of manifestation. Now, I'd like to read out of a paraphrase. It's not a Bible. It's a paraphrase of a Bible. I want to make that clear. I don't think that this is a Bible. Amplified. It says Bible on it, but I don't think that it is. It's a paraphrase of the Bible. I think that we can learn something here. If we can read the paraphrase of these verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you listen and I'll read. Starting in verse 4. Now there are distinctive varieties and distributions of endowments. But the Holy Spirit remains the same. And there are distinctive varieties of service and ministration. But it is the same Lord whom we all serve. And there are distinctive varieties of operation, of working to accomplish things. But it is the same God who inspires and energizes them all in all. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. That is, the evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for good and profit. To one is given, in and through the Holy Spirit, the power to speak a message of wisdom, and to another, the power to express a word of knowledge and understanding according to the same Holy Spirit.
to another, wonder-working faith by the same Holy Spirit. To another, the extraordinary power of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophetic insight, that is, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose of God. To another, the ability to discern and distinguish between the utterance of true spirit and the false one. To another, various kinds of unknown tongues. To another, the ability to interpret such tongues. All these achievements and abilities are inspired and brought to pass by the one and the same Holy Spirit, who apportions to every person individually exactly as he chooses. Oh, listen, can we get a vision of that, brothers and sisters? Oh, quiet sister, you think that you have no value at all, you brother, that you sit there and you think, well, there's no good in me and I don't have anything to say and somebody else can say it so much better. But my Bible says that God appropriates to everyone the gifts of the Spirit as He chooses. As He chooses. And I think we need to be aware of that. Every one of us, God wants to use us. Not just to live a holy life. I shouldn't say just, but I say just by way of emphasis. Not just to live a holy life. God wants to use us. He wants to manifest Himself through us, through the gifts of edifying. And through the gifts of blessing other people. God wants to do that. And brother, When you said, oh, for a church full of people that want to serve God, of course I knew what I was going to preach about, my heart leaped inside of me to see the Spirit of God energizing a body of believers and all these different gifts being exercised among them, not just here, but all week long. All week long. I think we need to lift the Bible up. And say, the Bible is the Word of God this morning. And say, Lord, I'm going to put aside my fears. I want you to use me in any way that you can. Now, thirdly, the gifts of motivation. Turn to Romans chapter 8. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 12. All right, as we read these verses, again, I'd like you to note something. I would like you to note as we read these verses that now names are given. Specific gifts are given in these verses right here. You need that to help you to understand the context of all of it. Specific gifts are given. In fact, there are seven of them. Seven specific gifts are given. And also, let me help you to understand by giving you this. Paul wrote this to the church at Rome. And he wanted them to understand the way the Spirit of God works in the lives of believers. Now let's read. We'll start reading in verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you. I say to every man that is among you. That word just keeps popping up this morning. Every man that is among you. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. But to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And let me stop right here and balance something for you. These admonitions right here takes care of the pride. Takes care of the pride. You're not supposed to think any higher of yourself, but neither are you supposed to think any lower of yourself. But as God hath ordered to every man, that's where you're to think. You're to know where you're at. You're to know how God is working in your life. Amen. You're to know what kind of gifts are in your life. And you're not to think of yourself any higher than that or any lower than that. God forbid, lower than that is just as wrong as higher than that. That's not true humility. Right, steady on where God has you is where you need to think of yourself. There's nothing wrong with thinking, I'm a preacher. God has called me and made me a preacher by His gifts of His Spirit. There's nothing wrong with that. If that's where you are, then that's where you should think, so that you can give yourself completely to the thing that God has made you. There's nothing wrong with thinking those thoughts. That's not pride. It's not pride. Verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So he's likening us unto that. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, now he's going to list gifts, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on his teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Now, I'd like us to note here in these verses that the gifts are listed, and they're mentioned in a context whereby, as we're reading it, we should be thinking, now where do I fit in here? Because Paul mentioned 7 of them. Where do I fit in here? Do I fit in? Is it prophecy? Is it ministry? Is it teaching? And by the way, let me explain these a little. Prophecy is simply speaking forth the mind and will of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what prophecy is here. By the way, you can do that, sisters. You can speak forth the mind and will of God in the power of the Spirit of God. You can do that. Or ministry. Ministry is just practical service. There's that servant our brother spoke about this morning. A servant in the church. Just let me sweep the floor. See, you mean that requires a spiritual gift? Well, you do it every time. You do it all the time, you see. That requires the grace of God. But yet, you dwell together with a congregation of people for a few years of time and you'll see that.
Yes.
You'll see that. You'll see gifts manifesting in that direction. Just, oh, this needs cleaned, and oh, I want to do this, and somebody has a need over here, and I'm going to go take care of it. Somebody needs something sewed, and I'm going to go sew it, and some brother needs some help, and I'm going to go and do it. You'll see that gift being manifested in the congregation. If that's your gift, then put everything you've got into it, and recognize when those promptings come upon your heart, that's why.
Hallelujah.
That's why. That's God working through your life. And say, this is where God has me. And be satisfied there. Be satisfied to be a channel only, blessed Savior, but filled with all thy wondrous power in service. Teaching. Let him wait on his teaching. I think that's a self-explanatory. We explained that one already. How about exhorting? Now here's a different one. Here's a title of exhorting. You know, in some of the old time churches, they used to have exhorters. They recognized it as a spiritual gift in the congregations, exhorters. And when a message was through, there might be 3 or 4 exhorters who would stand up and give an exhortation to the congregation based on the message. It might have been an exhorter that would come up alongside of somebody who had a need in the midst of a service and draw on the side and say, brother, here, let me minister to your need. Let me help you here. That's an exhorter. It's one who comes alongside and ministers to the need of another or to the group. He that giveth. That means what it says. There's such a thing as a motivational gift in the heart. Channel money into God's work here, there, everywhere. Into the needs of people. That others may not even see the needs, but that one with such a gift working in their heart, they'll see him. They'll see him. You may look right past him and they'll see him. And they'll go right past you and take care of it. You may not even know it's being taken care of and it's already done.
praise God, that there are those who move in such a gift as that in their own heart. The next one is ruling, and that's administration or organization. There is a spiritual gift of organization. Some men, some women can just make things clear, and others cannot. Some men or women, they can take an idea that's in their mind, and they can lay that thing out with 50 things that have to be done, and they can take that idea and make it happen, and others can't. But that's the way that God works in a body. Not all can do that. Not all need to do that. But some, and you know, if you know your brethren and your sisters very well, you'll know these things that pop in your mind, don't they? A different brother drops in your mind when you think about this gift or you think about that one. It's because the Spirit of God is working those gifts, and they're different gifts in the lives of the people that are in this room. And therefore, you know them. And he that showeth mercy is one that just has an overly compassionate, loving heart, seems to be more sensitive, seems to see the needs of people. They know when somebody's hurting. Everybody else may wonder, what's wrong with them? But that one that has that gift of mercy will feel the heartbeat and the ache of an individual way out ahead of everyone else. Now, may I say again, I think we all need to be merciful. Blessed are the merciful. We all need to be that. We all need to grow in that grace. But there will be some who will excel everyone else, because the Spirit of God is motivating that in their lives. And by the way, we can all see by looking at these seven here that they're different. They're very different gifts. And if a different gift rests upon my heart than on yours, there's going to be different insight to go along with that gift. We're not going to think exactly the same. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing. If we don't all think just exactly the same, it's a blessing. In fact, the wisest man in this room is the man that finds somebody who feels completely different about a subject that he needs to make a decision about. That's the wisest man in this room. If he'll seek somebody out who feels completely different about a decision that he needs to make and say, let me have it. Tell me what you think. And that's the way God works in the church also. It's diversity. The word diversity has showed up many times in these verses that we're reading. Diversity is beautiful. It's beautiful. God doesn't want us all to think exactly alike, because we're not exactly alike. He wants there to be diversity among us. Yes. Diversity of gifts. I praise God for the diversity that is among us. I just, as I think about the message, my mind goes back to different operations that have taken place in this congregation. And brothers and sisters, we're different. We are really different. But oh, what a blessing for the ways that you're different can fall upon my heart, and the ways that I see different can fall upon your heart. We all grow because of it.
Amen.
We all grow because of it. I sectioned out one of these here to show so clearly how different we are. And I chose the giver and the prophet. How different they are. The prophet, he may look right past the financial needs in a congregation, but he'll look down the road. He'll look down the spiritual road of the direction the congregation is going, and he'll see a little deer off way out ahead of everybody else. He'll see that. They're different. But yet, we gotta have them both. We gotta have them both. Or something isn't going to be ministered to. Either the ones who have financial need won't be ministered to, or congregation won't see those mistakes way out ahead. When they just start to be here. You know how that illustration is. You start right here.
There's a straight, narrow road. There's Brother Ross's board. And somebody starts to veer off, and he just goes off like that. You can hardly see it. Now, there's where your prophet shows up. The prophet will say, wait a minute, wait a minute. You've got 1 centimeter off the course. And everybody will think, what in the world is he hollering about? Well, he don't see it like that, brothers and sisters. He sees it like that. He sees it out there. And you got to have it. You got to have it. Just like you need to give it. Okay. These different gifts will affect how we think, how we feel, how our insight is into things. It'll affect all of that. But wait a minute. We'll miss the blessing of that if we don't acknowledge the truth of that among us. And say, praise God for the prophet that hollered about this when it was down here. Praise God for that prophet that hollered about this when it was down here.
Yes.
Now, there's not too many people hollering about the givers, so we can't do much on the other side of that. Not too many hollering about the giver, though, is there? We're all very grateful for those who seem to move in that way and have insight into the needs like that. Praise God for them. They don't get in much trouble. All right. Now let's go back to these categories again, and we'll review just a little in closing. First of all, the motivational gifts. The word every is in the context of Romans chapter 12. Everybody receives a motivational gift. You have one, and so do you. And so do you, brother. You have one. God gave you one. He put it in you when you were born again. He put it in you. That's exciting to me, especially if you never knew it. That's really exciting. If you never knew it, now you know it. You have one. Everybody gets those, men and women. Gifts of manifestation. They can fall upon everyone or anyone in the congregation. Gifts of administration? Only men. Isn't that interesting? Only men. Only men. Now, let's go back to the purposes very quickly. The purpose for the lesson this morning was to promote unity in the congregation. A unity. So that when God breathes out and says, oh, congregation, pick up that chair and move it over to another place, the congregation understands and can work together and yield together so that that chair is moved to another place. Unity. Number two, understanding. We need to understand one another. That we're not all the same, and see it as a blessing, and seek it out. Old prophet, go find the brother who has the gift of mercy when it's time to make a decision about the congregation. Go hear how the brother who has the gift of mercy looks at the same decision. Count it a blessing, a wonderful blessing. You know what happens so often? We look at it this way. The prophet thinks, I'm not going to go talk to brother so-and-so. He'll just disagree with everything I say. And brother so-and-so thinks about the prophet, I'm not going to go ask him because he'll just disagree with what I say. When actually, you're my best friend and I'm your best friend. If we could see and understand how the gifts work in a congregation, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. Number three. Know your gifts. The purpose of the message, so that you may know your gifts. To stimulate some understanding so that you can do some pondering and some praying so that you understand. How does it say? So that you can think of yourself according as God has dealt to every man. That's what I want. That's what God wants. He wants you to think of yourself according to as God has dealt to every man. And God has dealt to you. And God wants you to know where you're at so that you can give yourself to Him. And fourthly, that you might covet the best gifts. We find those verses, I think it's the last verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Covet the best gifts. It's not wrong to covet them. It's not wrong to desire them. It's not wrong to pray for them. Brethren, sisters, it's not wrong. It's not wrong for you to get down on your knees in the morning and say, "Oh God, will you not fill my heart with prophecies from thy word? Oh Lord, will you not give me a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge today when I get together with my sisters to sow or whatever it is?" There's nothing wrong with that. Oh, that we can see how this could work. It thrills our hearts, doesn't it?
Yes.
A body of believers functioning, operating, being motivated by the Spirit of God and the gifts being manifested while we're putting up the hay and while we're sowing together and while we sit together on a Sunday afternoon and fellowship, gifts are being in operation in the lives of God's people. That's the way God wants it. And of course, not to mention the gifts being operated right here in an assembly. Oh, the blessing that falls upon an assembly where when a message is given, one brother after another and a sister stands with a testimony and another brother has a word and an admonition and an exhortation. Oh, what a blessing it is to a congregation where all that input can come in one service. That's the operations of the Spirit of God. Here's the admonition to us all. These are spiritual gifts. They're spiritually discerned. They're spiritually given. They're spiritually manifested. Therefore, walk in the Spirit, that you might spiritually discern where you are, how God is working in your life, so that you might spiritually receive gifts from God, and so that those gifts can be manifested through the Spirit of God in your life. Walk with God. God has us in one place, and that is, He will take nothing less than a group of believers or an individual believer who walks with Him. He expects nothing less. He'll receive nothing less than that. So, the admonition this morning is, let us know and walk with our God, and we shall see all these things manifested more and more and more, both in our individual lives and in the congregation. Shall we kneel for prayer? Our Heavenly Father, oh God, we just thank you. Lord, we thank you for the things that you've given us today, for the meaning that you've given us, Lord. We are so grateful. Oh Father, we covet this morning. We covet that humility that was spoken about. And Lord, we pray this morning, you work in our lives and wrought that humility that we need in our hearts, each one of us, Father. And, oh God, we know there are many ways that we can become humble. We know, Father, that also you take special times to do that to us, to humiliate us, to bring us down to the ground, which is what humility means. And, Lord, we want to submit our hearts to you and invite you to do that in each one of our lives. And, oh God, we desire also the best gifts. Lord, we desire that there be prophets among us. We desire that there be teachers among us. We desire there be willing servers and leaders and administrators and father givers and all these many gifts. We desire that they be among us. We pray, Father, you work your self-same will in each one of our lives, Lord, to the edifying of the whole. We want to become that perfect man that was mentioned there in Ephesians chapter 4. Oh, Lord, we long for that. Oh, God, we long for it. We pray that you will work in a special way in each one of our lives, Lord. Grow us up where we're immature, Father. Stabilize us where we're unstable. Father, give us a stability of heart where we're double-minded.
Lord, we desire to mature as a congregation. Lord, I desire to mature as an individual. So we just trust these things into your hands. Lord, we thank you for every child you've given us. Oh, how it thrills our hearts to see them all sitting up in the front here, answering questions and singing songs and learning spiritual truths in simple ways. Lord, we desire that you bless our children. We want our children to rise up and love thee, Father, and serve thee with a fervent heart. So, Lord, we just thank you. We commit the rest of the service into your hands. Testimonies, giving, Lord, we just commit it all in your hands in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.